everyone. It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. Ruth Hong thinks, like most of us, that it's always nice to meet another quilter. I know I enjoy getting to meet her, and I'm sure you will love this chat we had.
Well, thank you so much for being on A Quilter's Life with me. I really appreciate it. Let's start with your background. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Chicago, Illinois. And when I was six, my family moved to Dallas, Texas. We actually moved just outside North Dallas in a town called Frisco. And we lived there for about 10 years. And then just recently, we moved to Charlotte. I actually live in Fort Mill, South Carolina, but we're just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot easier to tell people where I'm at. But yeah, we moved both times from my dad's job. And we've been living here in the Carolinas for about 4 years now, I think. Yeah, it's been about 4 years. Definitely a different change of scenery compared to Frisco. But it's been a good change. And I live with my six other siblings. I'm the oldest of seven.
Okay.
So we always have a busy house, and there's never a dull moment with my family. And I was homeschooled my whole life from kindergarten to 12th grade. And all my other siblings are homeschooled too. Yeah, it's a fun life. We really enjoy each other, and we all get along really well. So my family's definitely been a huge, huge part of my life.
Yeah. Do you have a job, or are you still in school?
I'm no longer in school. I graduated in 2017 from high school. And then since then, I've been working full-time at my neighbor's trophy shop. And that's where they've really taught me how to run a small business and all the ins and outs of what it takes to keep a business thriving. So they've definitely been a huge blessing to me in starting my own small business.
So what do you do at the trophy shop? You help with the business part, the bookend part, or do you work on trophies?
I kind of do a little bit of everything. Most of what I do is customer service. So I take all the orders, and I talk to all the customers that walk through the door, who call me, email me. So I do a lot of talking. Occasionally, when they need some extra hands in the back, then I'll help with the production part of that side. But most of the time I'm up front and I get to talk with everybody, and I really enjoy being able to celebrate their accomplishments or their coworkers' accomplishments or their kids. So that's been a really good fit for me.
Nice.
And they've also taught me some of the bookkeeping parts. I'm slowly learning how to manage expenses and cost of goods and how to price things out accordingly, especially when we have custom jobs that take a lot of work and a lot of thought into it than just a basic baseball team. So that has been very helpful to be able to see how you come up with those prices and make these decisions that seem so easy, but they're actually not that easy.
No, it's not. Besides quilting, because we know you're a quilter, what other crafts do you do or have you done in the past?
My mom and my sisters and I are all very crafty people, so we've kind of dabbled in a whole bunch of different things. My mom really likes to crochet, and so I've learned how to crochet over the years. I've also learned how to knit, but I'm better at crocheting than knitting. I've also tried cross-stitch. I'm happy to say I finished one project, but that's about it. And we've also tried, fabric painting. We've tried a lot of paper crafts, so I really like to scrapbook. And we like to make homemade cards, so we do a lot of that. every Christmas, my siblings and I will make Christmas cards together, and we'll just make a whole bunch to send out to our loved ones.
Nice.
Yeah. We also do a lot of cooking. So I know that's not quite crafty, but it is an art in itself.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. We do enjoy cooking and baking. And my sister, my youngest sister, has especially really liked to bake, and hopefully one day she'll become a baker, and that'll be career. At least that's what she's got her eye on at the moment.
Wow. Yeah. We all need those special desserts for special occasions.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm definitely very spoiled having an in-house baker.
So who introduced you to quilting?
A couple people. My mom and I used to be, well, I say used to, we are still part of the Sewing Guild in the Carrollton, Louisville, Texas area. We're just long-distance members.
Okay.
But my mom's been going there for years, ever since my youngest brothers were born. And when I was about 9 or 10, she started taking me to the meetings, and I met a lot of the ladies who knew a whole lot of different aspects in sewing. So many people liked to do garment sewing. Others were quilters. Others were more in garment designing or alterations. So a whole bunch of ladies were truly very gifted. But one lady in particular, Mrs. Rose, was the one who taught me how to quilt. She taught me everything I know and more. I still go to her for advice, but she's the one who introduced me to quilting and started my love for quilting, if that makes sense. But my mom is the one who taught me how to sew, but Mrs. Rose is the one who taught me how to quilt.
So that sounds like a different guild compared to others I've heard about. So it wasn't just quilting, it was different sewing projects.
It was. It was a really good group. They're still about, and they used to be part of the American Sewing Guild, but they've recently become their own independent group. But they really appreciate everybody's gifts and talents, and I always liked at every meeting they had a bring and brag, or we also call show and tell, but we like bragging about our accomplishments and what we've done during the month. So every month somebody, we'd just go around the circle and everyone would show off what they did in that month, and we'd have a class or a demonstration given by one of the ladies every month to just introduce us to different projects or different fun things. So we've done all sorts of crafty activities together, not just quilting or sewing.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's tons of fun. I wish I could be there at the local meetings, but I'll just have to read the email minutes when they come in and call up Mrs. Rose and see what happened at the meeting.
Yeah. Do you know how many quilts you have made?
Oh, dear. I have definitely made over 50 quilts in my 6 years of quilting. Kind of lost track over the past year or so because ever since I opened my Etsy shop, The Quilted Rose, I've made a lot more quilts than I can count. But I'd say for the people that I've given to, I've probably given to over 50 people.
Wow.
And for their children and for weddings. So that's typically where my quilts end up.
Now, how does it work for you selling your quilts? Do you make what you want and put it out on Etsy, or do you take orders?
I do both. I've mainly put baby quilts on my Etsy shop because those are usually what people look for during the non-holiday season. They'll look for baby quilts or some sort of baby shower gift. But I also take a lot of custom orders where I'll have somebody email me or call me and just say, hey, I'd really like a quilt to match my living room. Can you help me put this quilt together? And we'll talk about sizes and what color fabrics. And I've also had a lot of interest in memory quilts. I'm actually working on three memory quilts for the sweet lady I met at one of my shows that I had attended in the spring. And She was so sweet. She found my booth and she told me her husband had passed away about a year ago, and uh-huh. and she had all of his clothes still, and she would really, really like to have just something from him that was his, just to have, and to, that she could keep close to her because she missed him so much. And that is exactly what I want to do with yeah. my business. And so I was more than happy to take on that job. So that's what I'm currently working on.
Nice. It's so needed. So that is great. Just from the Facebook group I've been on, people have talked about taking on special orders like that and it not turning out so well. Have you run into problems, or is that usually people are happy with what you do?
Sometimes, I mean, very rarely I've had an issue with my work. I've had a couple times where it's a learning process for me. And I am a perfectionist, but sometimes I just have to let it go if it doesn't look quite right. But most of the time, people are very happy and very thankful, I think, is the best way to put it in what I do, especially if it's something that was their loved ones. I've had one lady who, her mom was a quilter, and she had passed away recently, and she had a bunch of projects that she started, but she never finished it, the UFOs.
Yeah.
And I had met her at also one of my shows, and she had asked, you know, would you be willing to finish my mom's projects for me? Because I don't know how to quilt, but I'd really like these to be done because she made them for me. And I was more than happy to do that. And taking on someone else's projects, everyone has their own little artistic way of going about and how they make quilts. Everyone makes a quilt differently. So doing that quilt was, it was special for me, but it was also special for her. I was kind of anxious for her to see it because I hoped that it still, you know, looked like her mom's work.
Yeah, yeah.
My twist on there. But I was surprised. She really enjoyed it, and she loved it, and she took it, and then she gave me three more projects to do. So, we've developed a pretty good relationship, and I can finish her projects or her mom's projects for her. I found out she's a knitter, so we made a good connection there, and we can share some sort of craft activity, even if it's not something that I do.
So with all the quilts you have done, do you have a favorite one that stands out?
I have multiple favorites. It's kind of like asking, do you have a favorite child?
Yeah.
I do not have a favorite child. But I love all my quilts for different reasons. There's one quilt that I made for a dear, dear friend of mine. She's been a wonderful mentor to me, just in my faith, and has become a really close friend of mine. And she, I had made her a quilt for her birthday a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And if I could describe it, it is a pretty modern, clean-cut geometric floral quilt. There's a lot of purples and pinks and greens in there. And it's made from one of my favorite fabric lines. It's called Garden Dreamer. And I just love the vibrancy and the florals that the designer had painted and printed on fabric. And so it is one of my favorites. And knowing that my friend uses that quilt every day just means the world to me.
Yeah.
And there's another quilt I made for my one of my good friends when she got married earlier this year. I had worked on that quilt for over a year, not knowing that quilt would be for her. Sometimes I'll just start a quilt and then just hang on to it, and then it'll find its home eventually, either in my shop or as a gift to somebody else, and that one ended up as a gift. But that one took a good year to finish. It was a queen size, and it was full of 2.5-inch squares.
Wow.
That were black and white and blue. And it was definitely a good learning process for me, and a good outlet of quilting therapy. but I did enjoy sending that off to her this year when I found out she had recently gotten married, and I had something to send her as a wedding gift. That
yeah.
was special.
I bet she appreciated it so much.
Oh, I think she did. At least that's what she told me, and she's always been very honest with me, so I'll definitely believe her.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're quilting, do you have a favorite tool that you use?
I have a couple favorite tools. One of them is my seam ripper. if I don't have that, I would be very lost and very frustrated. But I also appreciate my 2.5-inch ruler. It's exactly 2.5 inches wide, and Mrs. Rose actually found it for me at one of the quilt shows we went to together in Oklahoma City. And she brought it to me, and she said, "You need this." And at the time, I didn't know how much I needed, but she was right. It's the perfect ruler to cut your own jelly roll strips, to cut your binding strips. It's been very, very helpful. I use it all the time.
So it's 2.5
wide. Yes, uh-huh. ma'am. And then it's about 32 inches long.
Wow, 32.
Give or take a couple inches. Yep, so it's like a regular ruler, a straight edge ruler, but it's just 2.5 inches wide instead of that, you know, 6 or 5 inches wide.
Yeah.
Very, very helpful. Yeah, Mrs. Rose is always the one who finds the nifty tools, and she either gives them to me or she sends me links and says, "You need this."
That's neat. She's still mentoring you then.
Oh, absolutely. I went to see her over 4th of July this year. I haven't seen her in about a year because she still lives in Texas. And we just had the best time just catching up, and I asked her all sorts of quilting questions. And we went on a sewing retreat with a bunch of other ladies from our sewing guild. And we this time we made doll clothes together. And that was a really good time for us. We made about 80 doll clothes outfits, I think, in 3 days.
Wow.
She is the queen of mass production, I will tell you. so she had everything cut out and ready to go, and I was just there to be her second pair of hands. We made a really good tag team.
Cool. What's your favorite part of the process when you're making quilts?
I would say probably either the piecing or the quilting part of that. That is, I like just being able to sit at my machine and sew. I like the piecing because that's the start to put something great together. I can most of the time see how the quilt will turn out as I'm piecing it together. I can see it in my mind and just picture how I want it to look. Sometimes it looks better than I imagined. And most of the time that is the case. But sometimes I'll look at it once I've pieced it all together and think, well, that's not quite right. But I like the quilting aspect because that gives me the ability to kind of draw with thread. I'm not a very good sketcher. I don't draw very well, but I can picture it in my mind. And I've learned that if you can draw it, you can quilt it. And if you can see it in your mind, you can probably quilt it too. I really love free motion quilting, and that has been a really good outlet for me to practice drawing feathers, practice drawing hearts and different kinds of flowers. And I do a lot of meandering, and I do a lot of, I call them loop-de-loops, because that's pretty much what they are, but there's a lot of meandering in between the different loops. And I'll do heavy bubbles or pebbling. Yeah, free motion quilting has been my favorite way of quilting all my quilts.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
It is. It's very therapeutic, though.
Yeah. So when you go to make a quilt, do you like to use a pattern, purchased pattern, or do you like to come up with something yourself?
A little bit of both. I really like supporting other pattern designers and other quilters that design their own quilt patterns. So I love trying out their patterns, but I also like taking their patterns and making my own twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not my original pattern. It's inspired by somebody else's. But I like taking other people's quilt patterns and resizing them to the size that I like. I really like making large lap quilts because even though I'm a very small person, I have a lot of siblings who are a lot taller than me. And so I usually make my quilts extra long so that it'll cover them and cover their legs and or that more than one people can snuggle up together. So I enjoy modifying patterns. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. So what was your worst quilting experience?
I know I've had several. I can rack in my brain trying to think about what was the absolute worst one that I've had. I can't really put my finger on it. I do know there's one quilt that I had taken. It was my grandmother's wedding quilt, or wedding gift quilt, I guess. She got it for her wedding.
Uh-huh.
And it's a whole cloth quilt. It is a light pink on both sides. There's tiny, tiny embroidered roses or flowers that are in, like, every other square. It's very, very simple. The quilting is checked, and so they're just straight-line quilting. But it's gotten a little worn and faded over the years. My aunt brought it to me a couple years ago, and she said, this is Grandma's, and maybe we could cover the faded side so that it has some new life. And I thought, that should be fine. And it's already pre-quilted so that I had a guideline of where to quilt it so I could keep the original quilting.
Yeah.
So I modified a pattern to fit the size. But because it was a worn quilt and it was a puffy quilt, I had a lot of bubbles and puckers on the backside, which was what I had tried to cover. And it broke a lot of needles on that project. But I did cover it, and it turned out really nicely, and actually I've ended up keeping it, so I sleep with it every night. So I have one of my grandmother's quilts that's repurposed now, and it's given new life. But, that was a mess. And I hope I never have to do another one of those again, if I'm honest.
I wonder what they used as batting back then, if they made it puffy.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's probably got a couple layers of almost like polyester batting, maybe.
Yeah.
It's all stayed intact very well, but it's just, it's definitely been loved.
Yeah. So I know that you make quilts for customers, but who else do you make quilts for?
If I'm honest, I want to make a quilt for everybody. Everybody at my church, all my friends, all my siblings, all my, one day, if I ever get married, if I ever have children, all my children, and for my husband's family, just my... Quilts are my way of showing my love and that I care about somebody. And it's a tangible way to show people that you care about them and that you love them. And that's really why I love quilting, because it makes you think about somebody other than yourself. And that's why I say quilting is my therapy, because when I'm down and out and I just need something to do, I quilt, and it helps me to focus on somebody else. If not on somebody else, at least on the Lord, because I'm just sitting there and I'm doing monotonous work. But I can think about other things. So I find myself praying a lot or singing in my mind. Just another form of therapy. But I really enjoy giving people my quilts and seeing their faces light up. That means the world to me that they can see it and then realize, like, that's for them and for them to keep. And then just the joy and the excitement in their faces when they look at it. That's my best thank you, to see how much they enjoy and they love it and love something that I made. This last Christmas, I had made I have four brothers and two sisters. So I made two of my brothers quilts for their birthdays because they're both December babies. One of my brothers, he has a good friend in Burundi, Africa. He's a missionary kid. And he had come to visit us, he and his family, back in, I think, July of last year. But his mom brought me a whole bunch of fabric scraps from Burundi. So they're all these vibrant batiks and just all different colors, a lot of reds, a lot of blues and yellows, but brightest colors I've ever seen. And I took every single one of those fabric scraps, which was a whole Walmart bag, chock full, overflowing. And I took them and I sewed a modern log cabin quilt. I think it's the best way to describe it because it was just a rail quilt that just went around and around and around. And I eventually made it into a rectangle. I made it for my brother to give to him for his birthday. And when he opened it, he's like, "Oh, wow, this is, you made me a quilt." And then we're like, "Do you recognize the fabrics?" And he's like, "Well, there's a lot of colors in them." And we're like, "Do you know where they're from?" And his first guess was India. And we said, "No, it's not India. It's from somewhere else." And then he guessed Burundi. And the second try, and we're like, "Yeah, it's from Burundi." Mrs. Johnson brought all those fabric scraps back when she came to visit us and made you a quilt out of them so that you could have a piece of Micah with you because I know you miss him. And he sleeps with that quilt every night. And I know that that's special to him. That it's those things that are meaningful like that.
It's a special gift from the Lord to be able to see those areas that mean something to other people.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You're a newly acquainted quilter.
Yeah. I guess I took the class about 6 years ago, but I still do very basic stuff. I have, like you said, you make them for everybody. I've been making, you know, for our nieces and nephews, babies that are being born. And coming from large families, I still have, I think, six to do. So I don't have time to learn new things.
It's a learning process. You always learn something new.
Yeah.
With whatever project you do. Well, I have a waiting list myself.
Yeah.
For people who want a quilt from me and people who I want to give quilts to and people who want to buy quilts from me. Just an endless waiting list.
And you, it just amazes me that people are willing to wait. And obviously you're upfront with your pricing and all that to have that go so smoothly.
That is, pricing, I will say, is the hardest part of my business. Because the reason why I learned how to quilt is because I can't afford to pay somebody to do it for me. But also realizing that my time is precious and valuable and my skills are valuable too. And pricing that accordingly, it is difficult, but it is worth it and fair, not just for those who are paying, but also other quilters who are selling their work, because I've learned it. If you price your quilts too low, you know, you're setting the bar pretty low, and other quilters who are very talented and gifted and who, you know, price their quilts fairly, and my prices are too low, it's not fair for them. And so it just, trying to find that happy medium where everybody's happy. Where I get, you know, it's worth my time. It's worth their money. I'm always shocked that people are willing to spend their hard-earned money on me and something that I make and do. But then to see how much it means to them and that they're willing to pay for it, it makes sense.
Yeah. I just heard that same statement on another podcast I listened to. They were interviewing a lady that has made some comics about quilters. That subject came up in on that podcast about people pricing too low.
Yeah.
Hurts others.
It does. And also I've seen, you know, the bare minimum, you have to be able to compensate for your materials and for maintenance for your machine.
Mm-hmm.
You can give away your labor, you can give free labor all you want, but at the end of the day, you need to be able to pay off your machine, pay for maintenance to take care of it and keep it in shape, or to replace the machine if it gets broken. I myself have sewn at least 4 sewing machines to death in my lifetime of sewing. and each of my machines are workhorses. So it's always very sad when I have to put one down and say another one's bit in the dust and just got to say goodbye to it.
So what type of machine do you like?
I'm not really committed to a certain brand because I've tried all sorts of different ones. Mostly because the Lord has been so good to provide a machine for me when I've needed it. Just this past year, I purchased my own machine. In the past, the machines have just come to me as gifts or as hand-me-down machines. My absolute favorite machine, her name is Norma, named after the lady who owned her before. She had passed away 7 years prior to when I got Norma, and her husband was an excellent craftsman. He had made his wife a custom sewing cabinet with a hydraulic lift and several drawers, because she was a quilter. She needed all her notions nearby. He also had a long table on the left side that she could fold out so that it could hold her long quilts.
Very, very good
quality, made of solid oak, very heavy. Don't recommend moving them. And just in excellent shape. And when she passed away, he had waited about 7 years before he was ready to part with it and with the machine. And so he had called up Mrs. Rose. They went to church together. And he had told her, "I have a machine. It's Norma's. And I think I'm ready to let it go." And she said, "I know exactly who will give it a good home and who will use it and love it." And she called my mom up and told her, "I know Ruth just broke her last machine, but I found a new one if she wants to take it." And we said, "We'll be right over." And I tried it out in her living room, and I fell in love with it. It was top of the line back in her day. It was a memory craft, a new home memory craft, which is an off-brand of Janome. And it had just, they had just started, dabbling in computerized machines, because at that time they were all mechanical, and so they were just starting to get into, a more computerized, motherboard where you could stitch out letters, you could stitch out little, embroidery designs. So I have like a little flower, a little penguin, a little umbrella that I could stitch out that were tiny, tiny, tiny. But I had that machine for a good 3 or 4 years, I think, and just this past fall I had to let her go because I had killed her for good.
Wow.
Yeah, that was my favorite machine. I loved her. I loved her to death.
How many hours do you think you spend at your sewing machine? A week.
It depends on the week. Most of the time, if it's a weekend and I've got nothing to do, I will be in there all weekend long just sewing. So I could easily rack up 10 to 20 hours a week. Depending on the day. I sell trophies during the day, but I quilt at night. So I try to get in at least an hour a day during my weekday when I'm working. But on the weekends, I'll definitely put in at least 3 or 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
To get my sewing done.
That's great. What are tips that you would give to someone else that you've found helpful?
Practically, measure twice, cut once. Because I've done that multiple times where I've just measured once and cut and mismeasured. Another one, definitely, if you're following a pattern, read the directions first all the way through to kind of get an idea of of the steps that you're going to take. A lot of it is repetitive, especially if you're piecing a bunch of quilt blocks that are all the same.
Yeah.
So reading all the steps through so that you know how to construct each block, and so you have a good picture in your mind of how they're supposed to turn out, that is very helpful. YouTube is very helpful if you need to have a visual demonstration of either piecing your binding together and closing up the ends once you've made it all the way around your quilt. YouTube has been very helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And in learning how to construct a new quilt block, I really like Missouri Star Company and Art Gallery Fabrics. They both have very good tutorials on how to make a traditional quilt block. Also, the Lord provides everything you need. I've come to see that over and over again. Every time I need just a little bit of fabric, a certain color or a certain print to make the quilt pop or just give it a new breath of life, the Lord always provides that. And he always provides the right person to give it to.
Yeah.
That I've seen that over and over again, not just in my business, but before I even opened, my mom and I have both seen it, and just that he does it all well, completely, and he provides everything we need, whether it's fabric, whether it's a pattern. I can't tell you how many times he's come through and just surprised us with how he's provided.
Yeah. I really, really appreciate you being interviewed on A Quilter's Life.
It's always nice to meet another quilter. And
yeah.
I say that to everybody I meet at my shows or online. It's just nice to meet another quilter who loves to do the same things that I love to do.
Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com. Or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.